Let's light this candle.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. There's an awful lot going on here. Let's get right to the... Before I get to the local stuff, I do have some audio just in. I haven't even heard this yet. Nicole just told me about this. So, as you know, over the weekend, in one of the all-time metaphor video clips, Joe Biden fell off his bicycle. He was coming to a stop. He put his left foot down, and then he shifted his weight to the right side before he got his right foot out of the toe clip, and down went Biden. And as I said when I first saw it, this is one of the great metaphors for America. Anything Joe Biden is on top of collapses, whether it be America or his bicycle. And so today, Joe Biden was walking out of some building, and a reporter asked him how he was feeling after his little tumble.
Mr. President, how are you feeling? How are you feeling, sir? Good. There you go.
Okay, then what he did there was he tried to hop a couple of times, but his feet never left the ground. His heels came up a little bit, but he couldn't get off the ground. But he was trying to show that he was jumping. And the reporter, I guess the reporter considered anything good at that point.
How are you feeling, sir? Good. There you go.
There you go. It was very similar, if you recall, to when Phyllis tried to get off the ground jumping on The Office.
I am jumping.
You are?
Yes,
let me see
jumping.
You jump. Oh, my God. Yeah. This is a store-bought camera. This isn't one of those special military-grade cameras that would be able to capture that.
Oh, what's the new show? Oh, there is a show. Nicole, do you have Paramount Plus?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
I'll call
you
after
the show. Yellowstone was on.
I have it if you need it from me.
Well, I don't know. I don't need it because I would never steal somebody's password and
never.
Log in. Can I call you right after the show?
Yeah.
Sure.
Either one of
okay.
us.
I don't think you do, Nicole. I think I've asked you this before. There's Rainn Wilson is in a movie that I really want to see. Have you heard about this movie? I watched a 60 Minutes piece on it this weekend. Have you heard about this couple from a little farm town in Michigan that played the lottery? True story?
No.
Okay. I'm going to tell everybody a little tale here. So, I wonder. Tell you what. Nicole, I'm going to send you the link. And if you can find it, great. There's a 60-minute story about a couple farm town, Michigan, playing the lottery. Would you find that 60-minute story and pull audio, and I'll tell the story at 2:30?
Already got it. Yep.
Okay. I'll tell the story at 2:30 this afternoon. But anyway, they're making a movie out, or they've made a movie out of it now, and it's Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad, of course, is the guy in the couple, and then Rainn Wilson is in it as well. So that's what made me think about it.
Oh, Jerry and Marge go large.
Jerry and Marge go large. Yes. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how much I want to see this after watching the 60 Minutes piece. Okay. This is an organic radio segment on the fly. So Nicole's going to pull cuts from the 60 Minutes piece, and then I will tell the story of this couple. It's all a true story. And anyway, they made a movie on Paramount Plus, and I don't believe in stealing passwords for streaming
services. I think
it's
on Amazon Prime as well, it looks like.
It's on Prime?
Well, you probably have to pay for it.
Well, I got Prime.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? I'm sick of that. I'm sick of this Amazon Prime and then all the stuff that pops up and you think, oh, good, Amazon's got it. And then you got to pay for it. I think this cord cutting, I think it's turning out to be a bust. Didn't we talk about this a few weeks ago?
We have talked about it, yes.
A lot of people are discovering that what was supposed to be the savior for television viewing to be more affordable, or online viewing, since more and more consume video on their mobile devices. But everybody thought cord cutting was going to be the way to go. But by the time you get all, Peacock and Paramount Plus and Amazon Prime and Netflix and all this, all of a sudden, you're in the stratosphere with what you're paying per month. And Because what I pay to Dish Network is ridiculous. Do you know what your cable bill is? Cable or Dish bill or streaming bill, Andrew? Any idea how much a month?
Oh, sorry, you're asking me how much I'm being charged for it?
Yeah, for all the stuff you get.
I only get the Epic Times, which is about $150 a year, and then I'm getting the Paramount Plus with Amazon Prime. It's a special thing where it's a few bucks off for a couple months. But I'm mostly only getting that's about it. I only get Paramount Plus so I can watch Star Trek. That's about it.
Wow. Okay. See, so you don't have like regular TV channels then.
My family does, but I very rarely watch it with them.
Okay, yeah. My Dish Network, and I'm not dogging them, because I willingly pay it, but it's $180 a month for four TVs. And that just seems wildly excessive. So, but I realize that if I start piecemealing everything, I'm going to be up to that much anyway. So
I think there are some creative ways to get around some of that. For instance, I have Hulu Live, so that gives me a lot of other subscriptions. Or I have Comcast internet for a smaller fee, and that gives me access to a lot of stuff. But
not only that, I don't get Root Sports.
That's
Dish Network doesn't cover Root, so I have not seen one Mariners game.
Same.
For a year, I've never seen a Kraken game, because those are both on Root Sports, and then if they're on one of the networks, it's blacked out.
It's my biggest complaint. I haven't watched baseball in too long because they make it impossible. It's terrible.
Yeah, but then there's another problem, and I know there are going to be 50 audio experts who are going to offer to come and be hired by me. But when we built our house, we wired everything. So we got this old rack, and then everything's wired through the wall. But it's a nice surround sound system. But any streaming thing, I get on a Fire Stick, and that's just the television audio, which isn't nearly as good. So I keep paying this ridiculous Dish amount because the audio is the nice audio system that I've always wanted. But I'm sure there's a way around that. I just don't know what it is. I'm not an audiophile enough to do that. Okay, where are we? How did I get so
I don't even know.
Diverted here. Oh yeah, this just in. Joe Biden. I talked at the beginning of the show that the CDC on their official database says that in the state of Washington, no child under 15 has ever died from COVID. Others claim differently. So we went to the Washington Department of Health data dashboard, and the breakdown of deaths and hospitalizations by age has disappeared as far as Nicole and I can tell. So we called the Department of Health this morning and said, hey, where's the info? Is your launching trying to tell parents that they should inject a vaccine into their 1, 2, 3, 4 year olds? Where is the data to tell us how many kids? Because I know that no child has even been hospitalized in the last 2 weeks in Washington, and the CDC database says that no child under 15 has ever died in Washington. Now, there have been news stories that have suggested the opposite, but that was comorbidities that apparently were the real killer. But everybody's cooking the books right now so that the Pfizer and Moderna can get hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue by injecting stuff into children. In fact, Jay Inslee, he's tweeting about that today. Let me pull up the Jay Inslee. How great parents can finally get the vaccine for their children. Yeah, Jay. Parents don't need to vaccinate their children. But Joe Biden, he's pushing this as well, because Moderna and Pfizer have bought off the president as well.
These vaccines are safe and effective and are approved after extensive scientific review by the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC.
So it was approved by the Centers for Disease Control and the CDC. Well, that's a redundancy that should make everybody feel good about it. All right, with all that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
I'm not going to go too in-depth on this now because we are compiling an awful lot of information about our Attorney General, Bob Ferguson. You've heard me say over the years that I believe in 27 years on the air, I believe that Bob Ferguson is the most dangerous politician I have ever covered in my life of being a watchdog of government. I'm going to give you another example of this. So over the weekend, Bob Ferguson announced that Ed Troyer's accused of having an incident with a newspaper carrier. And there was an incident. Troyer called dispatch. There's a massive response, and the police responded. The young man, Altimer is his last name, he says that Troyer was racially profiling him. Troyer said, no, I saw a guy driving up my street at 2 a.m. and he wanted to know what the person was doing because they were kind of stopping door to door. So that's the back and forth. The media, the mainstream media in Seattle has fallen in love with Cedric Altimer. And I don't know if they're ignoring some of the things that Altimer has done to women in his past. I don't know if the media is choosing to ignore that. I know that they're trying to call Ed Troyer a racist. Troyer, who's married to a Pacific Islander woman and has adopted black children, but he's a racist all of a sudden. After 30 years of public service and dedicating his life to philanthropy, all of a sudden he's a racist. But let me explain why Bob Fergie Ferguson is the most dangerous politician locally that I have ever covered. And this is another example of how he uses the most powerful legal office in the state to be a protection racket for Democrats. And I don't even know what Troyer's politics are. You know, sheriff is nonpartisan. And like I said, Troyer is about as diverse a family as anybody I'll ever know. But Fergie has decided to go on a witch hunt because cops, Jay Inslee and Bob Fergie Ferguson, have decided that they must go after cops so that they can get the radical left support. So let me give this example here. So over the weekend, Fergie announced that he wants Troyer to pay $10,000 bail for this misdemeanor that he's accused of with the newspaper carrier of calling in a false report, all of which it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out in court. But $10,000 means $1,000 bond. So according to Fergie Ferguson, Ed Troyer needs to pay $1,000. So what, he won't skip town before trial? A guy who's lived here his entire life, has the deepest roots imaginable in the community, has family, has philanthropy, is the Pierce County Sheriff. It was a bit of political grandstanding by a politician who is absolutely out of his mind with power. So for that misdemeanor that Troyer is accused of, Inslee and Fergie are choosing to prosecute this man, trying to embarrass this man, all so they can score political points. Now, remember when the mayor of Seattle, left-wing Jenny Durkin, when she destroyed all of the text messages on her phone, on her government-issued phone, right around the Chaz Chop protests? Not only did Jenny Durkin, but so did the Seattle police chief, so did the fire chief, so did other top city officials. Jenny Durkin says, oh, I dropped my phone in water. Oopsie daisy. Destroying public records is a felony. Washington has some of the strongest open records laws in the country, and destroying public records is a felony. So Bob Ferguson was asked, are you going to go after Jenny Durkin for this felony? And he said, no, I'm going to leave that up to local law enforcement. And that right there is why Bob Ferguson is the most dangerous politician I've ever seen in 27 years on the air. He has decided that he has to go after all police officers. He must torture them, crucify them, embarrass them, must destroy them. going after those Tacoma cops, he's going after Troyer. And why? Because going after cops was a fashionable thing in 2020 and 21, and Bob Fergie Ferguson still lives in that glorious past. And so he has decided, even though there were no local charges, he's decided to go after and try to publicly embarrass Ed Troyer for a misdemeanor charge. His good friend Jenny Durkin, former mayor of Seattle, who may have committed a felony by destroying public records, Fergie says, oh, it's local law enforcement. Protection racket for the connected. Attack dog for those that he wants to attack. You know, whatever you think of Tim Iman, Tim Iman has saved taxpayers billions of dollars with his initiatives, and Bob Fergie Ferguson despises him. And Fergie's been on, he has been spending tens of millions of tax dollars to try to destroy Iman, and continues in that crusade. Why? Well, because Iman has committed the most grave sin of all. Destroying public records? No, that's fine. Iman has helped save taxpayers' money from that flow of billions going to government control. Oh, that's the worst sin of all. So Fergie has spent tens of millions of tax dollars to destroy Iman. He's got this public crusade against Troyer for what is a misdemeanor charge. Wait till you hear some of the things that Fergie's been doing in pursuit of that charge. Let's see if he's committed any felony. I'm not accusing him of anything. I'm just saying, let's see if Bob Ferguson in the Attorney General's office has committed any felonies in pursuit of a misdemeanor. Won't that be interesting? But again, I'm not accusing him. I'm just saying, I'm going to have a lot of stuff for you on this down the road. But a connected Democrat, like Jenny Durkin, Fergie has no interest in a possible felony. A member of law enforcement who may or may not have committed a misdemeanor, all of a sudden, the Attorney General's office is pursuing that in unbelievably questionable ways. This is going to be fun. This is going to be really fun to pursue in the days and weeks to come. Stay tuned. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you, and then our complete ad-libbed segment coming up, where I just thought about Rainn Wilson. Oh, he's in a new movie on Paramount Plus. And if you haven't heard the story behind this new movie, it's one of the most charming things, because I love numbers and probability, and I love a story that I'm going to share with you coming up next year on the Dory Monson Show. In an absolute stream of consciousness way to arrive at this destination, we've called an audible from what we were going to do in this segment. So, I heard this. I just heard yesterday that there's a movie on Paramount Plus that I really want to see, because just last weekend I watched a 60-minute story about Jerry and Marge. There is I don't know how or why my brain works the way that it works, but I have always been not just fascinated. I have, from a very, very early age, been obsessed with numbers. It's really odd that I make my living with words, because I can't remember names to save my life. I can remember all my friends' phone numbers when we were kids. I probably remember the phone numbers more than I can remember the names. My mind does not remember names, but numbers, I've just, like I said, obsessed. When I was a little kid, one day, the Ballard locks put in an electric eye, and every time somebody walked in, they had a counter, and you could see the counter one spot every time the electric eye was broken. So I discovered this electric eye with a counter. So I rode my bike down to the Ballard locks, And I just put my hand in front of the electric eye. Click, 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 click. And I watched the counter go. I don't know how long I did it. Might have been 30 minutes. Might have been more. I was obsessed just watching that counter go, making my hand break the electric eye to move the counter. I was very excited 2 weeks later when I saw a little blurb in the Ballard News Tribune that on the day I was there, the Ballard Lock set an all-time attendance record. I was very excited about that. I'm obsessed with numbers. So anyway, this new movie. So a couple in a tiny little one stoplight town in Michigan, they ran the little general store in town. And then in their mid-60s, one day the guy went to the general store, that, you know, the guy who had bought it from them, and they had a new Michigan lottery game. And as I said, this is all a true story. The 60 Minutes piece is based on the actual story. So they saw a new Michigan lottery game, and Jerry, he's reading the rules for the game, and he thinks, well, this is a weird little twist, because lottery usually is a, you know, 50% house edge against the player. But there was a little thing with this lottery game, and Jerry, who's pretty good with numbers too, he quickly figured out that there are times where this is actually in favor of the player.
And in only a matter of minutes, he realized that this was a unique game.
And I read it. By the time I was out here, I knew what the potential might be.
It did not take you weeks to suss this out.
No, not at all. 3 minutes.
3 minutes, and you've found the loophole in the state lottery.
3 minutes. I found a special feature.
That feature was called a roll down, and the lottery announced when it was coming. Unlike the Mega Millions games you've probably heard of, where the jackpot keeps building until someone hits all six numbers and wins the big prize, in Windfall, if the jackpot reached $5 million and no one matched all six numbers, all the money rolled down to the lower-tier prize winners, dramatically boosting the payouts of those who matched 5, 4, or 3 numbers.
So now, if you hit 5 out of 6, 4 out of 6, 3 out of 6, instead of getting $100, maybe you're getting $500 for the win. And he figured out, well, if you buy enough tickets, you're going to make money, because the law of probability kicks over. And, you know, that's why casinos want to keep players at the craps table, the blackjack table, as long as possible. You can win in the short term. You cannot win in the long term, because that's when the laws of probability become inescapable.
Jerry always possessed what he calls a head for math.
Here's what I said. I said, if I played $1,100, mathematically, I'd have one four-number winner. That's $1,000. I divided 1,100 by 6 instead of 57 because I did a mental quick dirty, and I come up with 18. So I knew I'd have either 18 or 19 three-number winners, and that's $50 each. At 18, I got $1,000 for a four-number winner, and I got 18 three-number winners worth $50 each. That's $900. So I got $1,100 invested, and I've got a $1,900 return.
Sounds like good math.
Yeah, a little over 80%, isn't it?
You're talking about this as if it's the most obvious set of figures in the world. This is not taxing the outer limits of your math skills.
No, it is. It's just basic arithmetic.
It really is. And as I was listening to him describe this, I was just following along with it. And here's the thing. Nobody else discovered it for a long time.
When a roll down was announced, Jerry sprang into action. He bought $3,600 in Windfall tickets and won $6,300. Then he bet $8,000 and nearly doubled it.
At that point, I told Marge what I was doing.
I was going to say, putting thousands of dollars in action on a state lottery game. At what point do you share this with your wife?
Right at that point.
Jerry says, I think I've cracked the Michigan State Lottery. What do you say to that?
You know, it doesn't surprise me.
So this is just a farm couple, and they're 70s, sitting on a porch swing in the most rural of Michigan. And then nobody else figured it out. So they started telling their kids and a few of their buddies And they said, hey, if you want to buy shares in this, we'll all invest together. There's nothing illegal about it either. They just figured it out.
Here's one that's pretty successful. We played $515,000, and we got back $853,000.
It's about a 60% return.
That was a good return.
They invited family and friends to share in their, well, windfall, selling shares in the corporation for $500 apiece. You might say this was a different kind of hedge fund.
Oh, man, I loved this. And then Michigan Lottery finally figured it out. And by the way, there was also a lottery in New England that had the same thing. So they started driving over there every time it had a roll down. And we're investing hundreds of thousands of dollars. And because of the large number law of probability, we're making money every single time. So what happened by the time all these lotteries figured this out?
The investigation found no one's odds of winning was affected by high volume betting. When the jackpot hit the roll down threshold, cash windfall became a good bet for everyone, not just the big time bettors like the Selbys. By then, though, Massachusetts State Lottery had moved on to a different game, without a statistical twist. And with that, Jerry and Marge Selby's excellent adventure drew to an end. In total, their unlikely homegrown company grossed more than $26 million from 9 years of playing the lottery.
Your corporation, $26 million.
Mm-hmm.
You smile when you recounted that figure.
That was satisfactory.
Satisfactory.
Yeah.
They made nearly $8 million in profit before taxes.
I'm struck by how measured you are telling this story. Do you find anything remarkable about this?
The only thing I found really remarkable is nobody else really seemed to grasp it.
What I'm hearing you say is that this part of the country is really good at keeping a secret.
How about that? Just a farmer figures out something nobody else figured out. And if you love numbers the way I do, that's as fun a story as they come. All right, so there you go. Hope you enjoyed that. My little ad lib there, or digression. Okay, we're going to be right back because we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Before I get to the wild and the wacky in our awesome audio, there is audio very, very serious. But as the investigation of what happened in Uvalde, Texas unfolds, the stuff that is coming out, those police officers, I don't even know how they can live with the memory of their inaction, because in the hearings about their absolute freezing, not going through an unlocked door 3 minutes after the shooting started and letting all of this carnage continue. The Texas Department of Public Safety Director, Steve McCraw, I don't know that I've ever heard somebody in law enforcement be so directly critical of law enforcement colleagues.
There's compelling evidence that the law enforcement response to the attack at Robb Elementary was an abject failure and antithetical to everything we've learned over the last two decades since the Columbine massacre. 3 minutes after the subject entered the West Building, there were a sufficient number of armed officers wearing body armor to isolate, distract, and neutralize the subject. The only thing stopping a hallway of dedicated officers from entering room 111 and 112 was the on-scene commander, who decided to place the lives of officers before the lives of children. The officers had weapons. The children had none. The officers had body armor. The children had none. The officers had training. The subject had none. 1 hour, 14 minutes and 8 seconds. That's how long the children waited and the teachers waited in rooms 111 to be rescued. And while they waited, the on-scene commander waited for a radio and rifles. Then he waited for shields. Then he waited for SWAT. Lastly, He waited for a key that was never needed. The post-Columbine doctrine is clear and compelling and unambiguous. Stop the killing, stop the dying. You can't do the former unless you do, you can't do the latter unless you do the former.
Can you imagine being the parents of those kids, hearing how those cops stood by and did nothing outside an unlocked door? They were there after 3 minutes, and they didn't go in until after an hour, and everybody was gone. It's just, it's horrifying to hear all of that. Okay, on some other notes here, let's get to awesome audio now. Joe Biden is telling us that 42-year high inflation, record gas prices. Remember, this is all good news.
My dear mother used to have an expression. Now, if anything lousy, something good will happen if you look hard enough for it. Mm-hmm. We have a chance here to make a fundamental turn toward renewable energy, electric vehicles, and not just electric vehicles, but across the board.
See, that's the good news. You all are going to get to spend $60,000 to get an electric car. So you don't have to pay high gas prices. Yay! And by the way, that was one of the few times he was allowed to speak this weekend. At one point, he was going to speak with reporters. His daughter and granddaughter were sent over to pull him away because Joe is not allowed to speak.
Yes, one of the things that you may recall that I initiated was the international flat tax provision. We got 140-some nations to sign on to. I'm coming.
You hear that? His daughter and granddaughter, no more questions.
This is my son, Bo's oldest daughter. She's trying to tell me, Dad, Grandpa, Pop, get going. You promised me you'd walk.
Okay. What did you guys do for Father's Day?
So they pull him away. And then another time, Joe was going to babble on to reporters. And his wife, Jill, was dispatched to pull. He is not allowed to speak. The president of the United States has to have his wife and his daughter and his granddaughters always pulling him away.
They can drill so the hell won't have it. But they're not doing it, number two. Number three, I think we're going to be in a position where we're going to...
Jill comes and tells, okay, we got to go. We got to go. He's not allowed to speak. That's the president of the United States, so cognitively gone that his family won't allow him to speak to reporters. But how in the world is his family allowing him to stay as the most powerful person on the planet when they know how gone he is? This is one sick family, man. Right, that's our awesome audio, and that is it for me today. Thank you for all the wonderful stuff you've been sending us. We always have exclusives and input to share. John Kelly, Sherry Ellicott Show coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. See you back here tomorrow. High noon. Hello.